This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, we say our final goodbye to the Rosetta Space Probe and look back at its great journey towards the comet 67P. We prepare for a journey to Mars and beyond with SpaceX Interplanetary Transport System and take a look at the subsurface ocean on Jupiter's moon Europa. But first, Rosetta spacecraft has reached its final resting place on the surface of the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko after planned crash on Friday the 30th of September 2016. Launched to space more than 12 years ago, the main aim of the mission was to study comets, which are believed to remain almost unchanged since the beginning of our solar system some 4 to 5 billion years ago, therefore providing a unique insight into its history and evolution. Getting to 67P was not an easy task, and the whole endeavour was under threat from every direction from the very beginning. The launch of the spacecraft was delayed by more than a year due to technical difficulties with ESA's Ariane 5 rocket. As a result of this delay, the original destination, Comet 46P, Virtanen, had to be abandoned, and 67P was chosen instead. During its journey, the spacecraft underwent four risky gravity assist maneuvers that allow it to achieve the velocity necessary for reaching its destination, far beyond the orbit of Mars. During its trip throughout the solar system, Rosetta visited two asteroids, 2867 Steins and 21 Lutetia. Both of these encounters were used to apply small corrections to the spacecraft's trajectory and to test and fine-tune the onboard instruments. On the 6th of August 2014, Rosetta finally reached its destination in the neighbourhood of the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. After the series of complicated orbital manoeuvres, it entered the proper orbit around the comet on the 10th of September 2014, becoming the first ever space probe to orbit a comet. The mission made headlines again, a couple of months later, on the 12th of November, when the lander Philae detached from Rosetta and became the first ever man-made object to successfully land on the surface of the comet. Unfortunately, the landing was not as smooth as everyone had hoped for. Philae bounced off the surface of 67P twice and landed in the shadow of a crater. This meant a limited amount of sunlight was able to reach the lander's solar panels, severely limiting its capabilities. With the scientific operations planned to last at least a couple of weeks, Philae was able to gather data for only about 57 hours, before all communication was lost. Thanks to the onboard battery designed to last around 2 days, the primary scientific operations were completed with data from all 10 scientific instruments onboard the lander successfully transferred back to Earth. After a long period of silence, communication with the lander was re-established on the 13th of June 2015 and lasted about a month until 9th of July, when Philae became silent again. That was the last time scientists and engineers at the European Space Agency were able to talk to the little lander that could. On the 27th of July 2016, the interface used for communications between Philae and Rosetta was switched off, bringing the end to the little lander's mission. On the 2nd of September this year, the lander was successfully photographed for the first time by the Rosetta spacecraft. Images sent back to Earth explain why Philae was not able to perform its duties for longer than a bit more than 2 days. The lander was found to be wedged against a large formation and covered in the shadow. With 67P getting further away from the sun every day, the lack of sufficient amount of sunlight that would allow Rosetta to perform its scientific duties was becoming an issue. If left on its own, the spacecraft would eventually run out of power and either crash onto the surface of the comet, with scientists having no control over its descent trajectory and not being able to gather and receive any useful data, or become a free-floating object in our solar system and not a piece of space junk. It was therefore decided that a controlled crash onto the surface of the comet would be the best solution. During the descent, Rosetta would be able to collect valuable data and send it back to Earth. On the 30th of September, the probe crash-landed onto 67P. Although it approached the surface at speeds not exceeding 1 meter per second for most of the descent, the probe was most probably badly damaged, and the signal from the spacecraft was lost around noon UK time. As it approached the surface of the comet, Rosetta instruments were kept busy analysing gas and dust, as well as taking multiple high-resolution pictures. Even though the mission encountered some problems along the way, scientists are still poring through massive amounts of data that both Rosetta and Philae sent back to Earth. Although it will take at least a few more years to interpret all of it, the preliminary results confirm that comets are indeed more than 4 billion years old and therefore come from the times of solar system formation and its early evolution. Organic molecules were found by both Rosetta and Philae. This provides evidence for the theory that some of the organic compounds were brought to the surface of the Earth through collisions with comets during the early stages of the solar system's existence. The European Space Agency was also very successful in engaging and informing the public about the mission and its findings. With a series of cartoons and animated videos, ESA is hoping to inspire younger members of the public to become future scientists and engineers that maybe one day will launch another successful mission that will explore the history of the Sun and the planets around it. Elon Musk, the founder and CEO of SpaceX, took the stage on Tuesday, the 27th of September, when he announced his plans for the colonization of Mars and the outer solar system during the International Astronautical Congress in Guadalajara, Mexico. This is the second time the company made headlines in the last few weeks, after one of its Falcon 9 rockets was lost in the explosion during the September 1st test fire. Even though this is the second rocket lost by SpaceX in the last 15 months, and the cause of the most recent incident is not known even a month later, the company and its CEO do not seem to stop. Mars has been a destination for the potential human colony since at least the Apollo-era space program. The progress, however, has been very slow, and no human has been further than the low Earth orbit since the last landing on the Moon in 1972. However, things may change in the next decade. During his talk, Musk shared his vision for the manned exploration of Mars and beyond. It would be based on a new rocket the company is currently designing, the Interplanetary Transport System. This 122-meter-tall spacecraft is meant to be powered by 42 Raptor engines, which are expected to provide more than 3 times the thrust generated by the Saturn V rocket. The whole design is based around the full reusability, which is expected to bring the launch cost down to the manageable levels. The 50-meter-tall interplanetary spaceship, capable of carrying 100 explorers to the surface of Mars, would be launched to the Earth's orbit on top of the reusable booster. The booster would then return back to Earth and be prepared for another mission. In the meantime, the spaceship would be refueled in orbit using a tanker delivered by another reusable booster. Full reusability is expected to bring the launch price to around $200,000 per person, which would represent a huge saving as compared to an estimated cost of at least tens of millions of dollars per person with NASA's planned space launch system. Members of the private and government space sector, including Boeing CEO Dennis Lulenberg, Blue Origin CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, and various members of the US Congress, as well as members of the public, raised a lot of questions regarding the feasibility of these ambitious plans. SpaceX's estimated budget is around $10 billion to develop and build the first rocket. Some industry experts, however, have already warned that the real cost might be as much as 2 to 3 times higher than that. The company also relies quite heavily on the funding from NASA at the moment through various contracts for delivery of goods and ultimately humans to the International Space Station. The future of this relationship became a great unknown as NASA is investing a lot of time and money into development of its space launch system, which is ultimately meant to carry humans to Mars and may see Musk's ITS as a direct competition. With the first launch planned for 2024, which is only 8 years from now, the company needs to start looking for serious investors and support, both in private sector and government. Despite all the obstacles, uncertain future and recent setbacks with the flagship Falcon 9 rocket, the work is already underway. The company is investing millions of dollars every year into technologies that will eventually be used in the interplanetary transport system. 2 days before his presentation, Elon Musk had announced the first successful firing of the new Raptor engine, and during his speech he revealed pictures of the new liquid oxygen tank made out of carbon fiber components. Even with all the developments, it is quite unlikely that the company will meet its 2024 deadline. Elon Musk himself acknowledged that this would be a difficult and almost impossible task. And if establishing the first Martian colony in about a decade from now does not sound ambitious enough, Musk shared his vision of colonizing the outer solar system with his new rocket, with Saturn's Enceladus and Jupiter's Europa as primary targets. And if you think that Europa might not be the best destination for the interplanetary colony, Jupiter's fourth largest moon is believed to harbor a large ocean of liquid water under a thick shell of ice on its surface. New results from the Hubble Space Telescope provide more evidence to support this theory. Scientists from the team led by William Sparks from the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore believe that they have found the evidence of water vapor plumes erupting off the surface of Europa. This is the second time such plumes have been observed. In 2012, another team, again using the Hubble Space Telescope, has found an evidence of water vapor eruptions shooting into space at a height of more than 150 kilometers. Both teams use the same instrument, the Space Telescope Imaging Spectrograph, but implemented different methods to analyze the data and estimate the amount of material in the plumes, and have both arrived at similar conclusions. This shows that Europa can indeed eject large amounts of water vapor from under its thick and solid frozen crust. This is especially important for future planned unmanned missions to the surface of Jupiter's moon. One of the biggest engineering challenges is the development of tools that would be capable of drilling through many kilometers of ice in order to reach the liquid ocean underneath it and study it, looking for any signs of life. The existence of plumes, which are estimated to eject more than 5,000 kilograms of water per second, gives scientists new opportunities to study the depths of Europa's ocean without the need to actually drill into the surface. As the design for the new space probe is now underway, more work has to be done to learn more about the nature of these water vapor plumes. Scientists would like to know whether they occur in regular intervals and if they ever repeat in the same place, or if they are rather random and unpredictable events. If they were found to be bound to a specific regions on the surface of Europa, then the target selection for the future lander would become a much easier task.